Journey Found. May not be an organization you've heard about before, but we're going to learn about it this morning as we are joined this morning by Tracy Walker, the CEO of Journey Found. Tracy, good morning. Thanks for coming in today. And for starters, what exactly is Journey Found?
Well, Journey Found is a nonprofit providing happy homes for adults with intellectual disabilities, autism, and other developmental disabilities. We have 28 homes. We also provide some day supports. And we also support a few people in their own homes, less than 24/7.
Tracy, you said adults, so there are people with those conditions while they're still children. At what point do they join Journey Found or become affiliated with Journey Found?
Well, in my world, we talk about the transition period of young adulthood. So basically between 16 and 25. For us, we will take somebody if they're 18 and still in high school, because people with intellectual disabilities can remain in high school till 21. So there are times when the school system might pay for us to become involved with them. And then after they, what we call age out at 21, the Department of Developmental Services will kick in and continue funding for the services they're going to need as an adult.
What's the origin of Journey Found? What's the backstory and how the organization began?
Well, we were the agency that almost wasn't. Prior to July 1st of 2013, we had been the Connecticut division of a much larger multi-state nonprofit. And in February of 2013, they informed me, I was the vice president of that division, and the state, they were no longer going to do business with the state of Connecticut as of June 30th. And since they gave more than the 90 days notice required by the contract, we could all figure out what was then going to happen to the 51 people, but then being served, the 192 employees. And six marvelous parents came forward and said, you know what, we're going to incorporate our own agency. We're going to take over those contracts so that our children's services will not be disrupted. And in basically in 6 weeks, we created an entire nonprofit agency, and Journey Found was born.
Including the name, and those parents had a role in the name Journey Found, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And they named Journey Found, the six parents that incorporated us, and they it was such a journey for them to save those services for their children, and they had come so far, and they sort of said that, you know, this is our reason to be, this is why we're here, and hence the name Journey Found.
So you're a nonprofit, but you still do get money from the state. What control does the state have over Journey Found?
Well, they set the rates, obviously. About 97% of our funding for our services comes through the Department of Developmental Services, the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services, and the Department of Social Services, but they also license and regulate us. And there's often a situation created that we refer to in the field as unfunded mandates. So we may have certain services that must be provided regardless of what money is being received to do so.
Obviously, the state of Connecticut has another budget crisis this year. What's the spinoff effect on Journey Found?
Well, it's been a roller coaster ride because there's been so many different versions of what the cuts are. The original governor's allocation plan, we would have lost over $760,000 in this year were that plan to be in effect all year long. Since he restored some of the money or actually reduced the cuts, there's no new money out there. Our risk under this plan is still a six-figure number. It's about $130,000. At this point, we're slated to lose. So we're not doing things we normally would do. We normally help our people go on vacations. They normally are out and about, recreationally. We normally will provide more staff than necessary, so a particular activity, could occur. We can't do those things because I don't know if I have that money or not.
Well, the state doesn't have the money either. So what is the message you send to the state, both to the governor and to the legislature, as far as why it's important to get funding for Journey Fund?
Well, these are vulnerable people, and as with everything else, if you don't spend the money in one place, you're going to be spending in someplace else. And these are people's lives. I have them 24/7. So whether if I get paid for 22 hours, they're not on the street for 2 hours. There's no place else for these people to go. This is their livelihood. This is their home. This is their jobs. They are receiving benefits. So they're also the equivalent to the working poor in many ways. And they're consumers just like you and I. And basically the message is any budget is better than the situation we have right now.
So Journey Found does have some fundraisers. You had a 5K run and walk recently. Tell me how that went.
It was very successful. We were able to raise over $5,000. It was our second annual, and we plan on making that an annual event and continuing to grow it. Our major event is actually coming up in October, which is our October 27th gala. And we really rely on that to bring in tens of thousands of dollars to help close the gap between what the state gives us and what we need to spend.
It's the third annual Masquerade for Giving. And, of course, it's a few days before Halloween, so there's a tie in there. How does the masquerade work?
Well, it's actually a little bit more of a Mardi Gras type of theme and decoration, and masks will be provided at the door, so it's sort of by choice. It's just kind of a fun theme. But it will be a great evening at the Glastonbury Hills Country Club of dinner, dancing, silent auction, and an opportunity to help support our folks.
And live entertainment, networking, too, $125 a person. Their website is journeyfound.org. When I was reading about the 5K run and walk, among the stories that I saw was a 21-year-old named Rowan. Give me his backstory and how Journey Found helps support what he is all about.
Well, actually, Ronan is one of my favorite stories. He had actually been placed out of state because there was it was very difficult when he was in a child and in high school to find an agency that could provide supports for him due to his challenges. And we were actually approached by his family in the West Hartford school system to say, you know, the school system can now support Ronan for the rest of his education. Could you support him and help him have a home so he could come back to Connecticut, costing about half of what it was costing the state to keep him in Massachusetts? And we said, yes, we would love to. And we actually built a home around him with two other young men with autism. It's a great place in South Windsor, and he transitioned in successfully, and he's doing things that he, his parents never dreamed was possible, and he's closer to home. He gets to visit with them all the time, and he's since graduated. We had five guys actually graduate from high school this year, and he was one of them, and we're helping him now join the adult world.
And he works part-time at the elementary school in West Hartford?
So, right, he has part-time day, day programming, and and primarily our work with him now and with the family, just like with all of us when we have children moving out on their own, is helping him learn that, how to be an adult and helping his family relate to him as one.
One of the things Journey Found does, too, is try to keep these people safe. Safety is paramount. How do you do that in his case and in all your people's cases?
Well, first and foremost, and this may sound funny because I think people think about control when they think about safety, but we do it primarily through being person-centered. If you're helping somebody be happy and find their wants and needs, they're not going to be as aggressive. They're not going to be angry and upset. So first and foremost, we treat them fairly like people, as our peers. And you'll notice I refer to them as people, not clients or consumers, because if you say people, you think people. And if you think people, you treat people like people. But also, we have behaviorists on staff that create specialized plans for each person so the staff know how best to interact with them. We have staffing guidelines for how close to somebody needs to be, what kinds of supervision they need. We have teaching strategies to help them do their things. We have nursing in place, so if there's healthcare issues, it's very closely overseen. And when you walk in, you think it's like just like anybody else's home, but there's a whole lot of regulation and guidelines that are wrapped around that.
And while people with autism do have limitations, a guy like Ronan wanted more independence, so that actually gives him a chance to spread his wings, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And one of the first things, if I go to Ronan's house or any of our houses, I don't just walk in; I knock like any other guest would, and they're asked, when I walk in, can I see your room? And if he tells me no, the answer is no. Is it okay if I look around and grant asking permission, just like I would if I visited your house?
The budget cuts that have been happening statewide that may have an effect on what Journey Found is all about, too. Is this the first year for that, or did you get cut last year as well?
We were rather fortunate. We didn't get a lot of direct hits, last year. But of course, not having any cost of living adjustments indeed is a cut, because our costs go up just like everybody else's. Particularly, and with an agency like Journey Found that does residential services, we're homeowners. We own 9 of our properties. We rent the others, so we have utilities costs. We have roofs that need to be replaced. We have maintenance, those kinds of things. So we got minimal cuts last year, but this is the first year that we're being hit rather hard.
If there are people in our listening audience who have people in their family with autism or other intellectual and developmental disabilities, do they contact you? How do they get connected to Journey Found?
Sometimes they find us on their own. The process typically is that the state will give families information about, here is a list of agencies that do the kinds of services that your child might be looking for, and then families choose. They actually interview agencies, they meet with them, they go out and see programs. So a family would contact us, perhaps a state case manager would contact us and say, this is our child, this is our circumstance, what can you do? And then we will help them regardless of whether we have something for them, direct them in the right place, but we'll also try to design something specifically that will meet their loved one's needs.
When we use that phrase, in intellectual and developmental disabilities, I think people think of autism, but what other conditions besides autism would direct people to Journey Found, Tracy?
I think one of the most common syndromes is Down syndrome, when people would think of it. There's also a lot of chromosomal disorders that would apply. People who have people might have heard of Fragile X is one of the things that goes along with it. But we also have some folks that don't have a whole lot of fancy diagnoses. It's based primarily on a lower IQ, so that they meet the criteria to be termed with an intellectual disability, but they don't have a whole lot of anything else going on. And it ranges also with physical disabilities, so that somebody, when you met them, it would be automatic, you would automatically know they were disabled, to folks that are just like you and I, and you would never know that they have a disability.
How would you describe autism? Because we hear it a lot, but if you don't live that life, you may not know exactly what it is. What is an autistic person's limitations?
There again, it's as varied as there are people, which is why they now refer to it as the autism spectrum. But primarily, their experience of the world is very different than yours and mine. The way they experience sensations, the way they experience sound and touch and feel, and their emotions and their response to stimulation, and what is. Aversive to us, to them, might be something that's pleasurable to us. They're very much in their own space and want to have things particular ways. But everybody that we have is so very, very, very different. Some of them are very, very verbal and very able to express themselves. And we have folks with autism that are nonverbal. We have one lovely woman, Priscilla, who came to us 4 years ago, and we were told, actually she was an emergency, and she was in a hospital bed. She had become out of control at home. Her family was no longer able to care for her at home. And when we met her, she was shackled to a hospital bed, over-medicated, and we were told she would never hold a conversation, that all she would ever do is echo back to you what you said. And we said, you know what, we can work with her. And she put her trust in two strangers. We sent two of our experienced managers to go pick her up. And with a little help with a promise of McDonald's on the way, she agreed to go with them. And we took her in. The first couple weeks were hard. She never lived away from home. But her house manager was at the office one day with her, and we were walking by. And I said, hi, Priscilla. Hi, Jess. And Priscilla said, hi, Tracy. And that was a conversational response, and that was the first we knew there was more to her. And since then, she has conversations, every day.
That's a great story. Autism. Do we have more autistic people now, or are we diagnosing more? And we've always had the same number, the same percentage.
I think it's a bit of both. The numbers to me say it can't possibly be just because we're more aware of it. So certainly the increase is partially due to that. But there has to be something underlying why we're seeing more of it, and I don't think we yet have a good handle on what that is. And I'm not totally convinced that autism is always a disability. It may be a coping. In the future maybe it will become a very successful coping mechanism, and maybe this is preparing people for the world. Generations ahead. I don't know, but it certainly speaks to the need for us to be addressing it better than we are. And there are a lot of people with autism that don't receive services because there isn't a special mechanism or way to get them served.
Well, obviously, Journey Found is one way to address it, but you say we're not addressing it as well as we could. What more could we do? What more should we do?
I think more support for families in their own homes. If you have a severely disabled family member, regardless of whether it's autism or if it's Down syndrome or if it's even a physical disability, it impacts the whole family. It impacts parents' ability to go out and work. It impacts the other children in the home. So more and more services that can help support people where they are. And whether it's respite, whether it's in-home teaching strategies, whether it's mechanisms for them to modify their own homes, in ways in which would make the person, I think that's a great place to start. But right now, primarily, the burden is on the families financially, for the most part, for these folks. And some people have the means to supply that, and some people just don't.
Tracy, you work in this field. Do you have your own theories as far as what causes autism? Is it genetic?
I think when you look at certain families, it's hard to argue that it's not genetic, but there's been no proof of it as of yet. And so, I mean, I really would hesitate to speculate, because there's a whole bodies of research that have been trying to get at this for decades. So I'm certainly not the expert on that, but I think there's more and more to that. And I wonder if it can't be, something environmental, globally environmental that's going on, not just in a specific household or family, but if there isn't something that's, causing these behaviors and these symptoms.
There's one school of thought that immunizations given to children when they're young might trigger autism. Do you subscribe to that?
Not typically, because there's research. There's equal amounts of research on both sides of that argument. So I wouldn't really debunk it, but I don't know that I'm a proponent of it either. And also, from the healthcare perspective, there's also been a whole new series of problems re-arising from people not inoculating their children as well. So, you always have to weigh the risks on all of those situations.
We talked earlier about the fact that the budget crisis and perhaps a cutting in funding for Journey Found would hurt the intellectually disabled. So if indeed you do get your budget cut, which a lot of people are getting here in 2017, how would that affect your ability to provide services?
Well, if the cuts get deep enough, it literally could put the civil and human rights cause of people with disabilities back decades, because they could become literally prisoners in their own homes. If there's, if I don't have adequate funding, then I don't have adequate staff to be able for them to go out and enjoy the community and have choice in their daily activities. They may or may not be able to maintain their jobs, so they will lose some of their income, because they do work just like you and I do as well. But it will be back to them sitting at home in front of a television, because there aren't enough staff people for them to be able to get out of the house.
Yeah, watching People's Court.
Right.
Shades of Rain Man is
right,
one thing.
Right.
Wasn't that character autistic?
Yes.
That was pretty much the way it was portrayed.
Right.
And you brought up a really good point that I want to expand upon here, and that's the idea about autistic people working. There may be a perception in the non-autistic world that these people are not capable of doing that, but the people you work with, for the most part, do hold jobs. Explain about their talents, their abilities, and their ability to be able to give back to the workplace.
Right. Well, Al, absolutely. We have folks that are with Journey Found that are office assistants that do basic work in the stores. We have a couple of people that have started their own businesses. We have somebody that does his own car detailing business. We have somebody that is a budding photographer, and so he's setting up his prices to cover events and do those kinds of things. They do shredding, and we work with people pre-vocational, so helping assess their skills and doing things, and also through volunteer. They volunteer for Food Share and for different the Kosher Food Pantry over in West Hartford and for different the Humane Society. So, but they're also consumers like you and I. So when people say they're not paying taxes, they pay sales tax like everybody else. They have their own money. They spend. They contribute. They go to community. They go to the movies. They go to restaurants. Their lives are no different than yours and mine. They just need our help to live them.
Is it safe to say there's no cure for autism, but what you try to do is make them live the best possible quality of life they can?
Absolutely, and our mission is to enable each person to be all they are capable of being, and it's very important that it's all. It's not just not just some, and they are for the most part they're capable of doing everything that we can, but with the correct supports to do so. And maybe it's not realistic that somebody's going to drive a car, but so how else can we help them fulfill whatever that desire may be? Maybe they're never going to independently drive a car, but maybe they can go to the go-kart races and at least fulfill that. Or we can help them follow NASCAR if that's what they're going to do. We have one man that we're so very proud of. 12 years ago, he was so anxious he couldn't even leave his room. And this year, Matthew walked into Subway and bought his own cookie, which at 40 years old doesn't seem like a big deal, but it took us 12 years with two staff people with him all the time, every time he left the house, to get there and do that. And since then, he's gone other places and is growing in what may seem like really little ways to other people, but now he has a freedom at age 40 that he didn't have growing up, and it's incredible.
Journey Found is based in Manchester. What's the region that you serve?
Northern and Eastern Connecticut. We have kind of a wide spread over about two-thirds of the state. We have 28 apartment and house programs where people live. And we also focus on keeping the people living together very small. We have two guys that live by themselves in their own apartments who receive 24-hour support, but everybody else is 2-3, and our largest home has only 4 people living in it.
Tracy Walker is our guest. She is the CEO of Journey Found, which began in February of 2013. Tracy, when you look back to February of 2013 to where we are now, September of 2017, how has Journey Found changed? Are you providing the same services? Are you bigger than you were back then?
We're much bigger than we were back then. In 4 years, we've added 10 new programs. We've grown from 192 staff to 280 staff. We have almost doubled the number of people receiving services, and we've expanded our scope. Our growing edge, if you will, is providing less than 24-hour care to people in their own homes, not in one of our group homes. So if somebody needs 10 hours of support a week because they need a little help with their shopping or their budgeting or to get to particular activities, we're looking at doing a little bit more of that. We're also exploring and one of the few agencies getting into a new model of service delivery called shared living, where a regularly abled person like you or I would share the disabled person's person's home, and they go out and work just like you and I would, but part of them living there is they agree to help and provide some supports overnight and do that. So it's much more of a traditional roommate kind of situation and trying to pair people that have a real relationship with that. We also, early on, were identified by the Department of Developmental Services to be one of eight, what they refer to as Living the Mission mentoring agencies, to work with them to become models of person-centered practice. And so we've also been identified as sort of a provider of choice for person, for our person-centeredness, if you will, and have sort of taken that on and try to spread that to other organizations as well.
You're based in Manchester. You do cover our area here. How many other organizations like yours are there in the state?
The Department of Developmental Services contracts with over 100 provider organizations because they are serving tens of thousands of people in a variety of services. We do, through the Connecticut Nonprofit Alliance, all belong to the same association and collaborate together on statewide advocacy and public policy and public awareness for issues of disabilities. So my colleagues and I work very closely together on those kinds of issues.
So with those other organizations and the threat of budget cuts having a significant impact on what you do, do you all collaborate and get together when it comes to, for example, protesting or lobbying at the state capitol?
Absolutely. There have been several rallies held over the summer on various days that we've all participated in. We have a very active email campaign through our association and with each other, emailing the legislators. The last emails have been going out this week, have gone out with the touch of a button. I have been emailing all 187 legislators, basically saying, make a decision, and stop the hurtful things that are going on right now. Also, too, in our field, and partly because we deal with adults, so we have the luxury, we really encourage all of our staff to be involved in this as well, and the people that we support involved in it and advocating for themselves. We found it's much harder for a legislator to make a decision that hurts one of our folks if they have the image of Priscilla or John or GT or Ryan in their head when they're having to make a vote.
Now, when you send out those group emails like that, do you get response at all? Do you even think they read that stuff?
So certain legislators respond. We have very good relationships with our local legislators, and we know we're getting some attention because the association's being heard. Over 1,000 emails came in. Okay, we get it, and that's great because we want to be sort of that thorn in the side until the budget situation is settled.
Tell me about furlough days and how that helps make ends meet.
It really doesn't, because it's a cost shifting. In trying to meet the governor's allocation plan, the Department of Developmental Services suspended 6 days of day services. They did rescind one when the governor returned some money, so there isn't one in September. But in those 6 furlough days, the employment and day programs don't operate, and so the programs don't get paid. The people lose their wages. The disabled people lose their wages for that day. They have to stay home. I had 74 people at home that day that otherwise would have been working or in day programs. So my day program is very small, so it saved the state $3,900 and what they didn't have to pay me for my day portion. But it cost me over $11,000 to take care of those people at home for the day, and I'm not going to get that money back.
How did you get into this field in the first place?
Well, I morphed into intellectual disabilities from Children's Services about 15 years ago. But initially, I knew when I was in eighth grade I was going to go into human services. I had a friend.
Why? What happened in eighth grade?
I had a friend who was a great basketball player, but his mom was an alcoholic, and she wasn't getting him up in the morning. And he'd been told if he stopped, any more tardies or absences, he couldn't be on the team. So I got up an hour early every day, went to his house, sometimes stepping over his passed out mother, and made sure he got up to go to school. Of course, my mom didn't have any idea what it was I was doing, because she never probably would have allowed that. But I knew then that I needed to work with people. So I started working with children, and then over time it became children with intellectual disabilities, and then it became adults with intellectual disabilities. So I knew early on that I was going to be a helper.
That's quite a story. And I know that being a CEO, a lot of what you do is office stuff and pushing papers and even the lobbying we talked about. But do you get a chance to actually get out and interact with some of the people, not clients, but people that you are in Journey Found?
So absolutely. I make it a point to be out to the programs on a regular basis. So even the ones that are furthest away from the office, I'm at their home at least once a year, if not twice a year. And we have activities. We have a big summer picnic that everyone comes to. We have a holiday gathering that everyone comes to, which is great when you have all 80 people and their staff together in one place, which when I started with the organization, I was told, oh, no, that can't happen. It's going to be chaos under our old regime under the other agency. And I said, like, heck, we can't. That's why we have staff. And those are always marvelous opportunities. And, I take pride in that the vast majority, if not all, of the 80 people we serve not only recognize me by sight, but know me by name.
You're based in Manchester. If we have people with these developmental disabilities, including autism, in the Wyndham area, be it Wyndham, Willimantic, Mansfield, Lebanon, whatever the case is, do they go to your Journey Found organization in Manchester? Do you handle them?
Sure. They could, and there are also other organizations in the area that serve folks from the area. But everything is based where people receive their services is based on them, their needs, their families, where they work, where they live, and how they can best keep all of their naturally occurring relationships and supports.
Okay, we need to get some explanation here for acronyms here. The underlying belief forms the cornerstone for person-centered services that are based in Applied Behavior Analysis, ABA, and Positive Behavioral Supports, PBS. What does that stuff mean, Tracy?
Well, what it means is, so our clinicians, I think everybody thinks about, clinical work as you go and you sit with a therapist in an office or you go to an anger management group and that kind of stuff. And that's not the kind of work our clinical people do. They're master's level, clinicians who have training in the ABA specifically that you referenced or in special education. And the work with people with intellectual disabilities is very much research-based and based on data and on working on helping them learn new strategies, help them, their behaviors that get in their way that, might be called maladaptive in a clinical term, help reduce the behaviors that get them in trouble, basically, and increase the positive behaviors. And the positive supports are, we don't use aversive techniques. Decades ago, you stopped unwanted behavior by, doing things that were aversive in the past. And we don't do that. We use positive reinforcement to encourage continuation of the things that we want them to be doing, and basically try to use people's strengths to help them overcome their challenges. And that's the whole positive behavioral support piece.
And when it comes to the services that Journey Found gives now, what's your vision for the future? You've been in existence since 2013. That was 4 years ago. Where do you see Journey Found 4 years and maybe 40 years down the pike?
So, certainly continuing to help people, lead lives that they truly are choosing, aren't being forced upon them, creating homes. But I think the wave of the future, both budgetarily and only because it's the right thing to do, is building more and more on sort of natural supports. And instead of having, imagine if in your life all your relationships were people that were paid to be in your life. And so instead of just focusing on paid relationships, helping people have friendships, having families more involved in the day-to-day coverage and stuff, if Nicole is on a bowling league and there's somebody on the bowling league that says, I'd be happy to support and come pick up Nicole and support her during the time she's bowling without a paid staff person going with her, there's no reason that shouldn't happen. That happens for me. A friend will pick me up because we're going, to a play, shopping, to dinner. So having those kinds of things more and more and less reliance on paid staff.
Is Nicole a real person?
Yes, she is.
What's her backstory?
So she's great. She has been with us for, at least 12 or 13 years. One of her housemates, she's lived with that entire time. And she works. She's actually an ambassador for the agency that she works for. She doesn't work for us. She lives with us. And she's a collector. You go in Nicole's room, and she has a marvelous doll collection, and she has a marvelous stuffed animal collection, and she knows where all of those things are. She has a boyfriend. She, goes and visits her family, and she is just marvelous, and she is a fashionista.
We talked about how you are getting money from the state, and there's some discussion that you were concerned about having some of that funding cut. Is there a fee for your services?
There is. We are currently working. We don't accept self-pay right now. We're currently working on a mechanism so that people that don't have state-funded services provided, if they have the means, would be able to at least buy some of their own. But there is. For everyone who's referred to us, we actually do an individualized budget based on their needs as to what it would cost to support them. And then we use that as the basis for negotiating with the state primarily, or with the school system. There are some school systems that pay for some of the young adults.
Journey Found is on the web at journeyfound.org. One word, journeyfound.org. And you can also get information by calling them at 860-643-9844 to speak to someone about their services. Tracy Walker is the CEO of Journey Found, based in Manchester. And by the way, we don't generally spell names on the radio, but it's T-R-A-C-E-Y. Tracy, why is it spelled with an E in it?
Well, my mother always claimed that was the feminine spelling of Tracy, not the masculine spelling of Tracy. Who knows? She was pretty adamant about a lot of things, so that could have been something she totally made up. But she named me after Katharine Hepburn's character in the Philadelphia story, Tracy Lord.
What a great story that is to wrap things up with. Tracy, thanks for coming in this morning and sharing what Journey Found is all about.
Thanks for having me.
Tracy Walker, our guest this morning, CEO of Journey Found, a nonprofit that provides safe homes and support services for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And again, they're on the web at journeyfound.org.